that fulfills all desires. And in Vrindavan, there are trees like that. What to speak of their flowers? Can't imagine how beautiful they are. And how do those trees respond when they see Krishna? How those trees respond? Actually, the flowers are actually the ecstasy of the trees. The joy of the trees are the flowers. And when the trees see Krishna, they automatically, immediately, their ecstasy become manifest in the form of flowers. Just Krishna appeared and all the trees became full of flowers. And Prabhupada is saying, in this material nature, one kind of tree gives one kind of flowers. One kind of tree gives only one kind of fruits. But Kalpavriksha is not like that. And it can produce anything. And what to speak of their spontaneous ecstasy. In Vrindavan, even the trees are, the trees become ecstatic. The land is Chintamani, desire tree. And in the spiritual world, everything is conscious. The land is conscious, tree is conscious, river is conscious, everything is conscious. Not only the human beings or the gopas and gopis are conscious, or the animals are conscious. Everything is conscious. As Krishna puts his steps, the land become ecstatic. How do they express their ecstasy? There's no way of knowing from here. Here everything is inert. There everything is conscious. And not only conscious, they're spiritually conscious. They're super conscious. We have a tiny little consciousness. A ray of consciousness. That also is being projected through the senses. And that is our consciousness. But there the consciousness is inconceivable consciousness. So more conscious one is, the more ecstatic one becomes. Ecstasy or the degree of joy is actually directly proportionate directly related to consciousness. More conscious one is, the more more intense is his feelings. More conscious one is, the more intense is his feeling of pleasure and feeling of suffering. You beat a dog, after 2 minutes it'll forget. A dog is beaten mercilessly, but after 2 minutes it won't have any feeling. But with human beings, I've noticed some people, you just say some harsh words. Once you used a harsh word, and he remembers it throughout his whole life. So that is the effect of consciousness. More conscious we are, more intense is the feeling of pleasure and pain. So and the intense pleasure is actually ecstasy. So there, and just this morning we're discussing, the sages who are actually meditating on Krishna in Shantaras, they are in Vrindavan. The trees are those sages. The sages, when they become elevated to the spiritual world, many of them become trees in Vrindavan. They're sitting and meditating. They're conscious, not only conscious as I was pointing out, they're super conscious. They're Krishna conscious. Super conscious. And they respond like that. When Krishna comes, they express their joy. All the trees become full of Now just imagine a forest that is full of flowers. What kind of forest that will be? And another thing is that in the spiritual world, even the sthabar, non-moving entities are also conscious, and they have ability to move. They don't generally, but they can. Like for example, once the pillow, Krishna's pillow, felt that, oh, I'm always at Krishna's head. I never get a chance to serve Krishna's lotus feet. So that night what happened? The pillow moved towards Krishna's feet. And it was Vishakha Devi's responsibility to make Krishna's bed. And when Lalita Devi came and saw that the pillow was at Krishna's feet, she started to chastise Vishakha Devi. What happened? You're so spaced out that instead of putting the pillow towards the head, you put the pillow at the feet. And eventually, of course, she found out that it was Mr. Pillow who did it himself. So that is the spiritual world. We have to understand that this world is inert, unconscious, dead world. In simple words, you can say abhyakta. But it becomes bhakta manifest because of the glance of Mahavishnu. Because of the living entities being projected into the material nature. If the living entities were not there in the material nature, what would have been the material nature? Would there be anything in the material nature? No. Material nature would have been just the basic ingredient, Mahatattva and Pradhana. Just Mahatattva, the ingredient. But that ingredient actually becomes manifest due to the presence of the living entities. Aparayamitastannam prakritiṃ viddhi me param. This material nature is Krishna's inferior energy, but it is the jiva bhutang mahabahu, the living entities, jajedang dharjate jagat. The living entities are coming here and exploiting this material nature, and as a result of that, the material nature has become manifest. In other words, it is the living entities who are sustaining this material nature. Dharjate jagat. The living entities are here and the material nature became manifest. What the living entities are trying to do here? Exploit this material nature for their sense gratification. Every living entity's basic business is simply to exploit this material nature. But the point is that the more one tries to exploit this material nature, the more one suffers. More one tries to gratify his senses in this material nature, more one gets punished in this material nature. So it's a dead world. It's a world which is always in, it's inert, it doesn't have consciousness. Material nature doesn't have consciousness. The consciousness is coming from the spirit souls. And those spirit souls are coming from the world of consciousness. That is the world of consciousness. Chit Jagat. So many times we got this expression, Chit Mai Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitavis. So Chinmai, full of consciousness. That world is the world of consciousness. And we all came from there. So this is how we can at least get a glimpse of that world. How wonderful it must be. It's a world of consciousness. Everything there is conscious and everyone is responding to Krishna's consciousness. Everyone is tuned up to Krishna's consciousness. And here, we all are in body consciousness. Consciousness of the body that is made of dead matter. What can we expect from this? So, this is how we are actually getting the informations about the spiritual world. And Krishna, the supreme proprietor, the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller, what is he doing? As a cowherd boy, he's tending cows. Why is he doing that? Because from that, he is deriving the supreme enjoyment. Like this morning, we actually gave an example. We considered one example. If a rich man, very rich man, throws a party, can you imagine what kind of a party that will be? Now, what to speak of the richest personality in the whole creation, Krishna, when he throws his party? What kind of party that is going to be? And a pauper, a beggar, gets an opportunity to go get into the rich man's party. So he enjoys just the way the rich man is enjoying. He is pertaining to everything that is there. Nice food, nice drinks, nice everything, so nice. And he is having a share of that. And in the spiritual world, Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, is not just organizing a party once in a while. His party is continuously going on. I mean, we can't imagine, you know, what kind of enjoyment is there. We cannot imagine. Inconceivable. But we, if we can go there, then we can enter into that party and enjoy with the supreme enjoyment. So that is the opportunity we are getting now. When one goes to a party, another mundane example, when one goes to a party, what happens? He enjoys, isn't it? No one, when there is a party, no one is actually suffering there. The more they get drunk, more they enjoy in that party. When they will suffer, what will happen afterwards, that's another thing. But when they're there, they're enjoying. And next morning, he wakes up rolling in the gutter and with a terrible pain all over his body and head. So at least you can have an understanding what a very gorgeous party is like. So in the spiritual world, Krishna is actually organizing or enjoying constantly. And in a party, more the merrier. And similarly, in the spiritual world, there are unlimited living entities enjoying with Krishna. So that's the understanding we are getting. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibha Bhitavis. And, okay, so we go to. Okay, this is that was the last verse that we discussed. Ananda Chinmaya Rasatmataya Manosu. Japraninang Pratifalan Smaratam Upetya. Krishna is enjoying. And that enjoying is reflected, pratifalan. And by remembering those activities of Krishna, even in this material nature, when Krishna comes, he actually performs his pastimes. And those pastimes are so joyful. Those pastimes are so joyful. that when one remembers those pastimes or hears about those pastimes, one recognizes the greatness of Krishna. Lilai tena bhubanani jayatta jashram. Okay, so we go to now the next one, text 43. Okay, now we are getting the description of the material nature and the spiritual world. Goloko namni, so this world of Krishna was the name of that world. Goloko namni, nijadhamni, Krishna's personal abode, nijadhamni. Goloko namni, nijadhamni. Tale chatasya, below that, Devi Mahesha Haridhama Suteshu Teshu. Tete Prabhava Nichaya Bihitascha Jena. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaha Ajami. Goloko Namni Nijadhamni Tale Chatasya. Devidham is this material world. This material world is Devi. Who is Devi? Durga Devi. Mahamaya. It's her abode. She is the controller of this. It is her place. It's her abode, Devi Dham. Then above that is Mahesh Dham, Lord Shiva's abode. And above that is Hari Dham or Vaikuntha. And above that is Golok Vrindavan. Such a clear understanding of both material and spiritual world. The situation of material and spiritual world. Material world is at the bottom. And then above that is the abode of Lord Shiva. Above that is Vaikuntha, the Haridham, Hari's abode, Narayan's abode. And above that is Golok. So Golok is the topmost region, and that region is the abode, Nijadhamni, Krishna's personal abode. Krishna always resides in Golok Vrindavan. Goloko eva nivasati akhilatma bhuta. Aradha Bhagavan Brajeshatanay Staddhama Vrindavanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. The supreme worshipable Lord is Krishna, and his abode is Vrindavan. So, material nature is being controlled by Durga Devi. Now, what is the material nature? We actually got a little glimpse of that, even in the previous verse. That is reflection of the spiritual world. So, now if we look at the spiritual world, what is the outer region of the spiritual world? The outer region of the spiritual world is Brahma Jyoti. Right? And then there is the abode of abode Vaikuntha. And then above that is Vrindavan. Now you see the reflection, if that is the spiritual, Brahma Jyoti, beyond Brahma Jyoti is Vaikuntha, beyond Vaikuntha is Vrindavan. Now the material nature is a reflection of the spiritual world. That's why the reflection of Brahma Jyoti in the material nature appears to be the highest. Whatever is the lowest in the spiritual world, in the reflection, that is the highest. That is considered to be the highest. And then the reflection of the Vaikuntha. What is the reflection of Vaikuntha in this reflection? Heavenly planets. Vaikuntha is a place of opulence. Heavenly planet is full of opulence. In Vaikuntha, the residents have four hands. And they are endowed with so much amazing abilities. And then, what is the lowest part of the reflection? The highest region of the spiritual world is reflected in this material nature as the lowest. What is that? The earth planet. The topmost region of the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has two arms and his associates have two arms. And in the earth planet, we have two arms identical to Krishna's form. Krishna very mercifully gave us his own form. So apparently what appears to be the lowest part of the reflection is actually the reflection of the highest part. There Krishna is the Supreme Personality, but he is not displaying his opulence. Like in Vaikuntha, opulence is displayed. The heavenly planet seems to be so full of opulence, so much enjoyment is there. But the material nature in the earth planet, getting the human form of life, one is actually getting an opportunity to understand Krishna and his activities. And when Krishna comes to this material nature, he actually performs his pastimes of Golok Vrindavan. So that way, it is very, very fortunate to have a residence or have a human form of body in the earth planet. Apparently, it is the lowest, but it is actually the reflection of the highest. It's actually a very accurate statement. I don't know where, how they got it in Bible though. Man has been created according to the image of God. Man has been created according to the image of God. So they have the understanding that God's form is two-armed. So they have, you know, Jesus had the knowledge. Jesus had the real wisdom. He knew the of Golok Vrindavan. But unfortunately, the people that he was preaching to, they were not intelligent enough so that he could give them the full knowledge. Therefore, he said, I have much more to say, but you all are not ready to understand that. And Prabhupada came and giving the understanding. So we are extremely fortunate. We can actually understand Krishna's pastimes. And one important thing, when Krishna sent these living entities, us, those who are meant to be in the earth planet, where he gave his own form, and along with them, Krishna sent his cows. So the real human culture is based on cows. In this topmost region of the spiritual world, Krishna, this world is Golok, the planet of cows or world of cows. The occupation of the residents there, they have only one occupation, Gopa and Gopis. All they do is take care of the cows. Their whole culture is based on, centered around cows. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Gopal, Govinda. So the real prosperity will come when we take care of cows. When we establish our culture, our civilization based on cows. Take care of cows, you'll get everything. Now, it may be difficult for one to understand how that is. Like, if we take care of cows, everything will be achieved. You may not understand that, but one thing we notice that how there is this kind of balance in this nature. some arrangement of interdependence. We see that our relationship with the trees. Aren't we getting everything from the trees? Our life is actually entirely dependent on trees. From the trees we are getting the food. From the trees, it is due to the trees that the rains come. We are getting water. It is due to the trees that we are getting oxygen. So this is how there is an interrelationship between us and the trees. Similarly, in a greater extent, to a greater extent, our relationship is with the cows. Therefore, it is very important that we take care of cows. I heard one of the British governors, or whatever his position was, Lord Clive, when he went to, in those days their domain was only in Bengal. Calcutta was the capital. And he asked people, the learned people, the Brahmanas, what is the source of your opulence? Because they found the place so opulent. Yes, what is the source of your opulence? And he was told, cows. And then he actually started the thing to slaughter cows. And that is how they actually destroyed the Vedic culture or human civilization in India. First the British and then the Muslims. They took their business to slaughter the cows. So we can see like how the demoniac culture is destroying the divine culture. Cows are the source of opulence for these people. Now, in order to dominate over them, we have to completely impoverish them, make them poor, devoid of their... And actually, you can't imagine how brutal these English colonials were at that time. They saw the cloth they were making called maslin. And that cloth was much finer than the cloth they were making in the mills in Newcastle, in England. So they thought that if these people are making this fine cloth, no one will buy our cloth. So what they did? They chopped off their fingers. All the weavers, they chopped up, they cut their fingers. And if the finger is cut, then they won't be able to weave. Anyway, so... What to do? Like, ultimately in the material nature, everything happens due to the karmic reaction. It is not that, that things happen just accidentally or due to the British. It was meant to happen. Meant to happen. This Kali Yuga. People are meant to suffer. And it is all due to their own karmic reactions. We can't actually blame anyone as such. The only way out of it is actually to be Krishna conscious. And as a result of that, what will happen? The Indians will become Krishna conscious, the Britishers will become Krishna conscious, the Americans will become Krishna conscious, Africans will become Krishna conscious, and in this way, when everyone becomes Krishna conscious, there won't be any exploitation of that nature. There won't be any kind of animosity of that nature. So that's why we can see that Krishna consciousness is the only solution to this world. Therefore, we have to take it seriously and we must spread it with all earnestness, all sincerity. Let it spread. Let us use all our energy, all our resources, all our intelligence, all our ability to spread Krishna consciousness. because this is the only solution to this world. And when it is established, everyone will be happy. Even if it doesn't spread all over the world, even if it may take a lot of time, but the thing is, those who will accept this process, their life will become joyful. Did it happen to you all?
Yes,
this is the proof. We accepted it and our life became joyful. Therefore, when we got the taste of the result of Krishna consciousness, then we'll be convinced to give it to others. We'll be able to give it to others with complete conviction. Yes, take it. It will work. It will work, no matter whoever you are. Whoever you may be. You may be learned or illiterate. You may be old or young. You may be rich or poor. Doesn't matter. Whoever you are, accept it and see what will happen. So then, we just got the understanding of the three regions. Below Golok, Vaikuntha, Maheshdham, and Devidham. Now, Devidham is controlled by Durga. So here is a description of Durga. So Bengalis, listen to this very carefully. They are the worshippers of Durga and Kali. Shishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka chhaye vajasya bhuvanani bibharti Durga ichhanurupam api jasya cheshta tesa govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Srishti, creation. Sthiti, preservation. And pralaya, destruction. This world is of creation, maintenance or duration, preservation and destruction. So all these three activities are being conducted by Durga Devi, who is the chaya vajasya, chaya, the shadow, jasya whom, bhuvanani, the mundane world, bibharti, Durga, maintained by Durga. And she, what she doing? Ichhanurupam api chasya cha cheshtatesha. Whatever she is doing is actually conducted by Krishna's will. She doesn't really have the independence. No one has the independence. Everyone is acting according to Krishna's. The external potency, Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency. So chit potency is Jogamaya. Chit potency is Radharani. Chit potency is the spiritual energy. So Durga Devi is the reflection of Krishna's chit potency. Chaye vajasya bhuvanani bibharti Durga. The creating, preserving and destroying agency of this mundane world. Durga, who is the conductor or conductress of creation, preservation and annihilation of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. So she is not independent. She acts according to Krishna's will. An example is the head of the prison, jailer. Can the jailer decide things himself? No. He acts according to the order of the king. Because he is an employee of the king. Similarly, Durga is acting according to Krishna's command. Therefore, That's why actually this is the point I was trying to make. There is no need to worship Durga. In Bengal, Durga Puja is a big thing. Very big thing. But just worship Krishna. Because after all, she is acting. Like, why do we worship the demigods? The purpose of worshipping demigods is to get some material benefits. Because they are the controllers of different departments. Like similarly, in the government there are different departments. So if I want electric supply, who do I generally go to? We go to that department. If I want to have water supply, we go to that department. But if I know the head of the state, if I know the prime minister, then do I have to go to those departments? No, we can tell the prime minister, hey, can you arrange it for me? If the prime minister happens to be my friend or... So similarly, if we need something, there is no need to go to the demigods. Just go to Krishna. Prabhupada mentioned in that respect that there is no need to worship the demigods because demigods are sanctioning it according to Krishna's will. Same point. So, even if you have some need, even if you have to ask for something, no need to ask to the demigods. Ask Krishna. And Prabhupada is saying the advantage is in doing that, when your desire becomes fulfilled, when you asked and you got it, your faith in Krishna will increase. So Prabhupada is saying that even if you have to ask for something, you can ask Krishna. Of course, at an advanced stage, one doesn't ask. But there is no need to prematurely pretend. If I'm a child in my spiritual life, let me become a child. Why should I act like a grown-up? And if the child comes and asks the mother, "Mummy, mummy, give me this," the mother feels happy. She gives. Of course, if something is not good for the child, the mother will say, "No, you can't get it." So similarly, we can approach Krishna. If it is beneficial for us, Krishna will give. And by getting it sanctioned, our faith in Krishna will increase. That's why Prabhupada is saying that worshipping Krishna, even for asking something, instead of asking to the demigods, is also beneficial. And so, did you get the identity? Did you get to know who is Durga? Who is controlling the material nature? How she is controlling? By creating, by preserving, and by destroying. That is the nature of the material nature. Now, nothing is permanent here. We all also, we have been created, we are born, we will live, and then we'll die. No one comes here forever to be here. Even material nature itself is not everlasting. In the sense, it's there, but the manifested aspect is only for the time being. Abhakta dini bhutani, bhakta madhani bharata. In the middle is manifest. Abhakta nidhanan eva. Then at the end it will become unmanifest again. So that is material nature. Okay, now we go to Lord Shiva. Big point. Shiva bhaktas, attentively listen. Kshirang jatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat. Sanjayate nahitata prithagasti heto. Ya sambhutam api tatha samupaiti karjad govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Kshirang means milk. How many of you have seen how the milk becomes yogurt? What do you do? Some expert cook. Just put some acid or yogurt or some lemon juice in a little hot milk. Little hot milk. And then the next morning you see that it has become yogurt. The milk became yogurt. Is there any difference between milk and yogurt? No, but yes. No, in the sense, the milk can become yogurt, but yogurt cannot become milk. But yes, because it's the milk that has become yogurt. Therefore, there's no difference between milk and yogurt. Right? So similarly, to undertake some special purpose, special mission, samupaiti karjat, to execute some special karjat, mission, activity, jasambhutamapi. Krishna has transformed himself into Shambhu. At the beginning we got one aspect of Shambhu, now we are getting a clearer aspect of that Shambhu. So, we discussed it previously also, now also let us recap it. It is saying Krishna became Shambhu. Is that clear? Vishnu, jasambhutamapi, became Shambhu or Lord Shiva. In order to execute some special purpose. The special purpose is to deal with Maya. Maya, who is Maya? Is Krishna's external energy. Now, because Maya is Krishna's external energy, can he directly deal with Maya? Then if he directly deals with Maya, if it establishes his direct contact to Maya, then Maya will become his internal energy. It won't remain his external energy. So he can't, the simple point is, Krishna cannot directly deal with his external energy. Therefore, he transformed himself into Shiva, Shambhu, in order to deal with the material nature. Therefore, how do we find? Material nature is Durga, and Lord Shiva is her husband. Lord Shiva is her husband. And also we discussed what is actually previously in the beginning of the verses discussed, that what was that special purpose? To project the living entities into the material nature. Therefore, Lord Shiva is identified as the lingam, the male genetic organ. Why Lord Shiva is worshipped in that way? Because the living entities are coming into the material nature through the agency of Lord Shiva. So, material nature is the mother, and in that way, Lord Shiva is the immediate father. Of course, ultimately, Krishna is the supreme father. But in this material nature, we came through the agency of Lord Shiva. He has other special missions also. And that is to control the mode of ignorance. Another mission to destroy everything in this material nature. Brahma creates, Vishnu maintains, and Lord Shiva annihilates, destroys. In that respect also Prabhupada is giving a very nice example. Actually, Prabhupada gave so many such wonderful examples. If you listen to Srila Prabhupada carefully, we get the perfect understanding. Prabhupada is giving the example that somebody wants to build a house. What does he do? He gets a contractor. Right? He appoints the contractor to build the house. But when the house is built, who uses the house? The owner. So who maintains the house? The owner. So Brahma is the contractor, and Vishnu is the maintainer because he is actual proprietor. And then when the house becomes old, there's a need to demolish the house. Then we call the demolition department and they come and just demolish the house. So that demolishing department is the department of Lord Shiva. So this is how we get such clear understanding of every single aspect in this material world and also in the spiritual world. So now we understand who is Lord Shiva. Can he possibly have any conflict with Lord Shiva? No. I mean, all along we had a clear understanding, Vaishnavanang Jathashambhu. We learn to worship and respect Lord Shiva as the greatest of the Vaishnavas. He's a wonderful example of a pure devotee. He doesn't have any place to stay. Although he is the husband of the entire material nature, his wife is controlling everything, but he doesn't even have any place to stay. Although his wife is providing all the food for everyone in this world, he doesn't have any food. He doesn't have any. It seems that Lord Shiva doesn't have any food. He doesn't care for food actually. He lives in the crematorium. He doesn't wear any clothes. He has two identification in that way. Digambar. Direction is his cloth. His covering is all the directions. The material nature has ten directions. There are ten directions. So Digambar. Meaning he's naked. And another identity is that he is smearing his body with ashes. But whose ashes? Okay, I'll come to that afterwards. What is he doing? He is wearing a garland of human skulls. He is dwelling in the crematorium. He's dwelling in the crematorium. Why? Because he is seeing, as a devotee, he is seeing what is the ultimate nature of this material nature. When you go to the crematorium, we see ultimately what's going to happen. In Bengali, there is an expression, smashan bhairagya. You go to the crematorium and then you become renounced. Because you get to see what is the ultimate culmination of everything. Everything is going to come to an end. A person who you have seen for so many years, you had such a wonderful relationship, now that person is gone. He is turned into ashes. And you begin to realize that, well, that's going to happen to me also. So why unnecessarily become attached to so many things in this world? But the thing is, that is a temporary vairagya. Lord Shiva is Bairagi, Tyagi, renounced, because he is a devotee of Krishna. Because he is a devotee of Krishna, he doesn't have any attachment to the material nature. And he is meditating all the time. Because he is always constantly thinking about Krishna. And Lord Shiva is in the crematorium. He is wearing a garland of human skulls. So these skulls are actually, after the devotee's body is burnt, he is actually wearing them. He is smearing his body with ashes. Is the ashes that is after burnt, the cremation of the devotee, he is actually wearing their ashes. He is not just taking any ordinary ashes. It's only devotee's ashes that he is smearing in his body. So this is how he actually is showing his attachment to the devotees. And he is the controller of time. Mahakaleshwar is the controller of time. And who is time? Krishna is saying, Kalosmi, as time I am the supreme destroyer. He is destroying everything, time. So that is how Lord Shiva is the supreme, is the destroyer. So now we got Mahesh Dham. And now where do we go? Haridham. Deepar chirevahi dasantaram abhupetya. Deepayate vibrita hetu samana dharma. Jastadri yabhi cha vishnutaya vibhati. Govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So, relationship between Krishna and the incarnations. Haridham is the abode, that is the abode of Krishna's expansions, Narayans. So who are those expansions? Those expansions are exemplified just as a lamp. One lamp lights another lamp. Another lamp. But when the lamps are lit, they display the same potency. Vibrita hetu samana dharma. Samana dharma, equal potency. First lamp, second lamp, is there any difference once the lamp is lit? Third lamp, 100th lamp, 1000th lamp, 1000000th lamp. They are all of his same potency. There is no difference. So Krishna and Krishna's expansions don't have any difference at all. So these are the light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. Alright, so do you understand the relationship between the incarnations and Krishna? His own expansions, like one son becomes two sons. The first son and second son, is there any difference? No. They become 10, they become 100, they're all sons with the same potency. Similarly, Krishna's expansions have the same potency. Then we are coming to Mahavishnu, Karanadakshay Vishnu. Jakaranar Navajale Bhajatisma Yoga Nidram Ananta Jagadanda Saroma Kupa Adhara Shaktim Avalamba Parang Samurtim Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who, assuming his own great subjective form, who bears the name of Shesha, replete with the all-accompanying potency and reposing in the causal ocean with the infinity of the world in the pores of his hair, enjoys creative sleep, Yoga Nidra. So who is lying? Krishna now is lying in the causal ocean. Why? I mentioned it the other day also. This Vishnu aspect of Krishna is in relation to material creation, Purushavatars. So first manifestation is Karana Dakshai Vishnu or Mahavishnu, the first, the greatest aspect of Vishnu. And he is lying in the causal ocean, Jakaranar Navajali. And Bhajatisma Yoga Nidram. He is in Yoga Nidra. He is sleeping. But it's a transcendental sleep. When we sleep, we get into ignorance. But that is not the case with the Lord's sleep. Yoga Nidra means inactive aspect. He is inactive. He is inactive. So the point is, although he is the cause of the material nature, but he is not actively involved in the material nature. In the material nature, he actually set autopilot, conducted by time and space. Guna and karma. Modes of nature and karma. The living entities are projected. Okay, you want to enjoy? Go ahead. Krishna says that, okay, I created a place for you. And in that world, in that region, he is not actively involved. Okay, it's you want it, go. And you can act there. But your actions will generate reaction. And those reactions will be conducted according to the three modes of nature. Material nature has been endowed with three modes. Daivi Hesha Gunamayi. This Maya is endowed with three modes. And you will act in those modes and accordingly you will get the reactions. Urdhangachanti Shattastha. If you act in the mode of goodness, you'll be elevated, shattastha, gat urdhang gacchati. You will be elevated to the higher region. Higher region means more enjoyment. According to Prabhupada, higher region is like the first class prisoner. They're all in prison, but first class prisoner, getting some facilities. Urdhang gacchanti shattastha. Madhye tishthati rajasa. Those who are in the mode of rajagun, they are in the middle, in the earth planet, in this middle region. And jaghavanna gunabrittistha adho gacchanti tamasa. Those who are acting in the mode of ignorance, their activities are jaghanna, disgusting. Those who are acting in a disgusting way, they go to the lower region. Adho gacchanti tamasa. So, that is the prakritek kriyamanani, gunai karmani sarvasaha. That Krishna himself is saying it. Everything is happening in this material nature according to guna and karma. And he is inactive. He is not saying, you do this, you do that. He is totally impartial. But although he is lying down in Yoga Nidra as if he is asleep, but he is breathing. And his breathing is causing the generation of the universes. Causal ocean, ocean of cause, like consider in a underwater, did he ever try breathing underwater? Not breathe in, but breathe out. When you breathe out, some bubbles are generated. Bubbles are created. So those bubbles are, each bubble is an universe. So this is how the creation actually begins. And then he enters in each universe as Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And he fills up the half of the universe, inside of the half of the universe, with Shvedabari, with his sweat. Sweat means the water generated from his body. When we sweat, we may generate one or two drops of sweat. But when he sweats, whole universe becomes filled up. So that is again his inconceivable potency. So there also he is inactive. He is lying down. Garbhodakshay. It's water. To remain in water, to float in water, there is a need of a special type of bed. And what kind of bed? A bed of snake. So Shankarshan becomes Ananta, becomes Shesh, lying, and he is lying there. And then a lotus is generated from his navel. And Brahma is situated on that lotus. So that is the basic understanding of creation. Make sense? Is it scientific? Yeah, it's absolutely scientific. Just compare, where is Big Bang? And where is Brahma Samhita? But unfortunately, those people are so adamant, so defiant, and so stupid that they don't want to accept it. They branded all this as fairy tales, mythology. And the Indian scholars also are accepting what their British masters have taught them. All these are mythology. Just as, you see, British went there, they saw that the Indian culture is so exalted and Indian situation is so opulent that we have to destroy that. Otherwise, we won't be able to control over them. That's why they started their education system. They're very smart, actually. They were very smart, I would say. I don't know how they are now. So, they saw that we have to undo whatever is there in India. Indian culture has to be destroyed. Therefore, they got their missionaries to come to India. Christian missionaries. And they set up their schools. And then they started to educate Indian boys from high-class families. And then they gave them big job, big positions, and they made them the role models. And look, if you take this education, you will have so much prosperity in your life. And the rich Indians send their children, and then some of them even send their children to London, England, to come up with big positions in India. Many of them actually turned against the British. They saw, this is your agenda. Okay, we are not going to accept it. Like Subhas Bose is one. He went, his family sent him to England to become an IAS officer. I'm sorry, ICS, Indian Civil Service. And that's the highest position one could get. Even the British people, if they had to give it a job, exalted job in India, they had to do these ICS exams. And Indians also went and got the ICS. There were many Indian ICS those days. But then finally Subhas Bose refused. He had to sit for the exams, but he deliberately failed. He deliberately failed himself in that. There are certain tests that he did not want to perform. Like one thing was horse riding. He was a horse rider, but he pretended that he failed in that. Anyway, whatever it is. And then he came back and he started to tell. Same thing with Aurobindo. Aurobindo was also an ICS candidate. But after that, from England, he came back. Another person is Mahatma Gandhi. He went to study law there. Of course, his thing was a little different. He did not revolt there in England. He revolted in South Africa. How many of you have seen the movie Gandhi? You saw what happened? He was a lawyer, and he was in the compartment, a higher class compartment, and the Indians could not go into those compartments. It was exclusively meant for whites. And although he had the ticket, because the ticket was whoever bought it, you know, that bought it in the name of such and such person, a lawyer. So they bought the ticket. If the station people could recognize that he was an Indian, they wouldn't have sold the ticket. And he was thrown out. He was actually pushed out of the train in Pietermaritzburg. And then he started his non-violence movement. He saw that with fighting with the British, there's no way we could drive them out of India. But his idea was that being non-violent, okay, you will torture, we'll tolerate. Let's see how much you can torture. And it actually, he took a stand like that, but his activities actually generated a tremendous wave around the world. What Gandhi was doing against the British and what the British were doing. They beat him up mercilessly, but still he wouldn't give up. And anyway, so the point is, these people, the British colonials those days, established an education system. And that education system totally undermined the Indian education system and Indian wisdom. They actually made everybody believe, oh, these are all not true. The scriptures are only fairy tales. Fictitious stories, mythology. And still today Indians are thinking, the Indian mythology. Indian mythology. They don't study. They may study. Sometimes they get PhD theses, they write on different scriptures. But they give their own mental concoction. And that's why it's so important that we study under the guidance of a qualified teacher. It's very important that we study under the guidance of a qualified teacher. Like this point is coming up time and time again, that although we may have read Bhagavad Gita, although we may have read different scriptures, but we didn't really understand until we came across Srila Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada's books had such powerful clarity that just reading one page, we get the understanding. We become attracted, like, yes, this is it. So that's why Prabhupada's books are so important. And that's why it's so important that we distribute these books all over the world. So please make it a point, wherever you are, whoever you are, make it a point to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Like Vaisheshika Prabhu is going and training up the householders to distribute books. In your areas, invite Vaisheshika Prabhu. And he is doing an amazing thing. Not only the father and mother becomes engaged, even the children become engaged in distribute books. And they are having amazing result. He wrote a book, Our Family Business. And it's so true. This is our family business. Distribute Prabhupada's books. If we want to spread Krishna consciousness, the most important aspect of spreading this movement is by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So please take it up very, very seriously. Read Prabhupada's books yourselves. Distribute Prabhupada's books and make others read those books and understand those books. Help them. Yes, Maharaj.
You were saying that how Krishna doesn't, you can say, Krishna doesn't dictate for us to do anything. He's just like neutral. But why is he dictating to Arjuna? Armed with yoga, stand and fight. Why is he dictating to Arjuna?
Yeah, right. Yes, a good point, Maharaj. Like, there is, generally Krishna does not tell living entities. But when he comes and performs, his pastimes, then he actually teaches us what to do and what not to do. So this is a part of Krishna's pastimes. And this pastimes, Krishna comes along with his eternal associates, like Arjuna. Through his pastimes, he is actually teaching us what should be done. When he personally comes and performs his pastimes, then yes, he teaches the living entities. But otherwise, the living entities are free to act, and then material in the material nature, they're functioning according to the guna and karma, and they're acting and they're getting the result of the actions.
Seems that Srila Prabhupada was also pushing this.
No, devotees though do. Krishna himself doesn't. But Krishna's devotees do that. In Madhurja Kadambini, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is making that point. That what causes one to get devotional service? Like, he's making these points and counterpoints that way. Does Krishna give devotional service? Answer is no. Because if he did, then Krishna would be seen as partial. Like someone he is giving and someone he is not giving. But Krishna himself is impartial. But Krishna's devotees can afford to be partial. They can give it to somebody, whoever they want to. And that is how devotion is achieved, by the mercy of a devotee. Therefore, first is Guru, and then Krishna. Guru Krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bij. It is a Guru, meaning Bhatma Pradarshan Guru or Shiksha Guru, who is giving us Krishna consciousness, devotional service. It is by the mercy. And we can see in our practical life, we get devotional service by the mercy of a devotee. Some devotee we come across, he gives us a book or he preaches to us, and it makes sense and we accept it. Okay, so does anybody have any question? Yes, Ajay, Govinda. There, at the back.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the nice explanation of Shiva. I have a question related to Shiva that Srimad Bhagavatam explains that Lord Shiva is Rudra and he appears.
Lord Shiva is?
Rudra as well.
Yeah.
And he appears from Brahma.
Yeah.
Out of, when Brahma was angry. Like Krishna appears, you know, as a son of Devaki. Is there any mention of like appearance of Shiva, or he's always there, and how Shiva and Rudra are related, and Rudra is appeared from Brahma? Can you?
You can say that Rudra is Lord Shiva's expansion in the material nature. In the material nature, he came in this universe. In this universe, he appears as Rudra, who actually came from between the eyebrows of Brahma. That is a manifestation, but Lord Shiva is also in the spiritual world, not in Vaikuntha, but his abode, Mahirdham, is beyond this material nature. So from there, from that Shiva, he expands himself into this way. Various way. The previous aspect was Shambhu aspect. That's a glance of Mahavishnu. So that is one aspect of manifestation of Lord Shiva. And another manifestation in each universe. See, that is the general material nature manifest. He is manifested in that way. But in each universe, he is being manifested in the form of Rudra, who comes in between Brahma's eyebrows. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So you have a question? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. So here the Durga Shakti is creating, preserving and destroying. As well as we know that Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesha, they have the respective duties same as wise. So how do we correlate between
the overall responsibilities of Durga and then appointed personalities are that way Brahma and Lord Shiva. Vishnu is always the controller and the proprietor. Right? As we give the example, the contractor builds. But when the building is complete, then who moves into the building? Vishnu. So Vishnu is the real maintainer. But Durga is executing that responsibility, overall responsibility. But then those activities are being conducted by Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwar. Yes, no, okay. His hand was before. Yeah, give it to him.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. Nice pleasure to ask you, to have you here. My concern to this knowledge is I was figuring what is the definition of material. Material, what makes something material? I have listened to Srila Prabhupada's lecture, and then there is times that he says that any object or things that you use in the presence of the consciousness make that things becomes the consciousness of whatever it is. So if we have like on a spiritual basis, you using that mic, is these things become spiritual. And then if only outside of the material world, whatever we think, that is what makes things material. So I'm suggesting or asking whether the nature that we see is a gross development, but it's a temporary nature.
Okay, I got your point. You see, ultimately, we have to understand the difference between material and spiritual is where we put ourselves in the center, that is material. When we put Krishna in the center, that is spiritual. The object, when we are using it for our enjoyment, it's material. When the same object is engaged in Krishna's service, it is spiritual. Right? So, like Rupa Goswami is giving that description, as prapanchika taya buddha hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubhi parityago vairagyam phalgu kathate. Considering the objects of this material nature that could have been used in Krishna's service, if we reject that, then it is called false renunciation. On the other hand, if the things are engaged, anashaktasya vishayan, jatharham upajunjata, with a mood of detachment, not for ourselves. That's the mood of it, not for me, but for Krishna. So if we use things for Krishna's service, then that is called renunciation in attachment, yukta vairagya. You get it? When you use it for ourselves, it's material. When you use it for Krishna, it's spiritual. The object may be the same. Ultimately, everything belongs to Krishna. So, that in that respect also, Prabhupada gives a very nice example. What is the meaning of engaging things in Krishna's service? A bag of gold is lying in the middle of the street. One person comes and sees that, picks it up and walks away. Right? The same bag is lying. Another person comes and he sees, well, this is not mine. So he walks away. Another person comes. He opens the bag and finds the address of that owner and takes it and gives it back to him. Right? So the first person is a thief. Second person is a false renunciate. And third person is a devotee. He knows that everything belongs to Krishna, therefore it should be offered to Krishna. He finds the real proprietor and gives it back to him. Does it answer your question? Thank you. Yes, Pranagovind.
Maharaj, you quoted that verse, Urdhva Gacchanti Sattvastha Madhye Tishtanti Rajasa. Jagannagana Vrittistha Adho Gacchanti Tamasa. So then, in the planetary system, in the fifth canto commentary of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, I remember that he says, the Billa Sarga, subterranean, is more enjoyable than Bhoma Sarga or Dibba Sarga of Indra.
Okay, first point is, in order to understand that, you don't have to go to Vishwanatha Chakravarti. Srila Prabhupada said it in his purport. He made it very clear. The fifth canto. Vila Sarga, subterranean heavenly planet. That's how Prabhupada explained it. Yeah, so what's your point?
Point is, you said disgusting is like a... But it's more higher pleasure. How to reconcile that?
Not that everyone is going to Patala Loka. Lower planetary system is also animal kingdom. Becoming animal. Right? So Jagannath Guna Vrittistha Adho Gacchanti Tamasa is the animal life. And even if you consider that lower planetary system, who resides there in the lower planetary system?
Demons, asuras.
Demons. So do you want to become a demon?
No, but their enjoyment is more higher.
They think that their enjoyment is higher. Like in India, people think enjoyment is in America is higher. Right? But when you come to India, you will see that in America, people are suffering more than the people in India. But people in the village are enjoying, actually. Enjoying their life so nicely. So much peaceful. So content. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the real enjoyment is to digest your food and have a good night's sleep. If you can do that, if you can digest your food properly and sleep at night, that is real enjoyment. But see here, like another consideration, say Bila Sarga, as we mentioned, subterranean heavenly planet. Subterranean means underground. Means where sunlight doesn't enter. Right? And means artificial lights. There the artificial lights are from the snake's jewels, from the snake's head. So that is the source of light and they have their enjoyment. Let us consider this situation. Light caused by the jewels in the snake's head. Did you ever consider an electric bulb through the cable? Current is passing through the cable and at the end of the cable is the bulb. So the current passes and the bulb lights up. Do you see the similarity between a snake and electric light? Snake's jewel and electric light. Well, there of course it is snakes. There are snakes. And what is actually the similarity in that respect? What causes that to light up in the snake's head? The poison. Poison is actually liquid fire. Electricity is also fire. So it's the fire that is giving light, giving out the light. Okay, now I made that point in order to make you all understand. There is a place called Las Vegas. Right? The whole atmosphere there is as such, like once you enter there, daylight doesn't enter there. They have created in such a way. I haven't gone there, by the way. I heard that daylight doesn't enter there and it's everything is lit up with electric light. So that, when you enter there, you don't have any concept whether it's day or night. Now consider, Las Vegas is a replication of the Bila Sarga. Do you think in Las Vegas people are enjoying? What do you think? If you really want to have the experience, you don't have to go there. You have to go there and gamble and lose all your money. So, there is a saying that no one became a millionaire coming to Las Vegas. But many millionaires became paupers coming to Las Vegas. So that we can get an idea what kind of enjoyment is there in the lower planetary system, although it's called Bila Sarga. So the point is, the further you go away from Krishna, the further becomes your suffering condition. The more intense becomes your suffering condition. Okay. Yes. Okay. Oh yeah. So those who raised their hands before.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you have said the material nature has the reflection of the spiritual world.
Not the material nature. You got it the other way around.
Other way around. Yes, sorry.
Yeah.
So the nearer one reflects the Brahma Jyoti, Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. So I'm not getting the Brahma Jyoti's reflection.
The Brahmanas?
Brahmanas.
Those are meditating on impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Oh. They are considered to be the highest people in this material nature.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Brahmanas.
Brahmanas.
Who
are meditating on Brahma Jyoti.
Okay. They are.
But then the devotees, there are two types of devotees. Aisharjapar, the devotees who are worshipping the Lord in awe and reverence, they are worshipping the Lord in Vaikuntha. And then Madhurjapar, those who are worshipping the Lord in a loving relationship, they are in the earth planet. Heavenly planet, they are worshipping the Lord in awe and reverence.
Madhurya.
The especially ISKCON devotees, they are Madhurjapar devotees, worshipping the Lord in loving relationship with Him. All right?
Thank you, Maharaj.
So, who has the next question? Yeah.
Thank you for the nice class, Guru Maharaj. My question is, you were mentioning Krishna deals indirectly with the external potency, and so Krishna deals directly with the internal potency. How does he deal with the marginal potencies, which is Jivatma?
Yeah, this is the marginal potency. The marginal potencies, the jivas, can either be in the spiritual world or in the material world. Right? So, those who are in the spiritual world, they are with Krishna. They are enjoying with Him. Those who are in the material nature, Krishna put them in the situation where is the autopilot of guna and karma. So they are subjected to this arrangement of guna and karma. So they are enjoying for their good actions, they are suffering for their bad actions, until they come across a devotee of Krishna who gives them Krishna consciousness. Alright?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
That's how, from this external nature, they can go back to Krishna's internal potency.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Thank you for those explanations. But it's not my question is not directly linked to your Brahma Samhita. But I think around me there is somebody, a member of my family, who is awakening to spirituality. He is open to Krishna consciousness. But he uses a different approach. I mean, slowly he's coming to the opening of his consciousness to spirituality. So he asked me a few months ago to ask you a question. So I am, if you allow me, knowing that God resides within us, what is the consequence of trying to listen to what is happening to the voice within ourselves? So if we stay listening to the voice inside and just staying there and trying to listen to ourselves, not doing anything, what are the consequences on the mind, or is there a bad consequence, or what is the result of that practice? I mean, so I don't
know. No, I didn't get that. I mean, listening to the voice of the mind.
No, not the mind. Knowing that God resides within us and the self. So if we want to try to listen to that voice inside, and we stay...
In order to listen to the voice, you have to have transcendental ears to hear that.
Yeah.
With these ears, you won't be able to listen to Him. With the mind that we have right now, untrained mind, will not be able to listen to Krishna's voice in the inside. We have to get purified. Therefore, we have to listen to the voice of a devotee, guru, mm-hmm. who actually will tell us how to listen to the super soul in the heart. Who is actually a guru? Super soul in the heart is a guru, but he's Chaitya Guru. Mm. He is a guru, but to listen to him and understand, we have to have the direction of a bona fide spiritual master who will direct us from outside. And then only we can hear the voice of the Lord inside.
Yeah, I think gradually he will accept the idea of a spiritual master, but because it's not right away that people who are not devotees, they don't accept the idea of spiritual master.
At least
master
if he doesn't right listen to a spiritual master, at least he should listen to you. And
yeah,
you tell
that's
him.
It. It does. He does. Yeah, no problem. Yes.
He does. So you tell him. You have to first take a spiritual master.
So there is a notion of now, being in the now. So he's a lot of he's reading a lot about being in the now. So I don't know what
he's reading
value
a lot
of
be here now.
Yeah,
by Prabhupada.
Not by Prabhupada, but some other writers. I mean, of spirituality. No,
wasting his time.
Okay.
The thing is that you say, okay, at least, you know, he should listen to Prabhupada's or read Prabhupada's books. Those books will never let him understand or hear the voice from inside. They may speculate and they may say so many things, but that won't. Whereas, you know, read Prabhupada's books and instantaneously you'll get the effect. But for that, one has to be submissive. The problem with this person that you're talking about is that he's not submissive. And unless and until one submits, one will not be able to receive Krishna's mercy. So the first qualification is to be submissive. Right? So at least, you know, like give them some good advice. Become their guru. Although you don't have to say that I'm your guru. But act like their guru. Give them the right advice. And bring them to the point of listening to Srila Prabhupada, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. He is reading the Science of Self-Realization. Okay, so create good fortune for him. Give him some Krishna Prasad. Right? At least, you know, feed him nice Krishna Prasad. Keep trying, you know, like it is ultimately, it is, we have to decide, one individually has to decide for himself. Prabhupada used to say that, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. It's you who will have to decide. The choice is yours. If you want to stay in the material nature, who can help you? But the thing is that when the intelligence awakens, then one can become elevated to the spiritual platform. I presume you're talking about your son. I thought as well. Anyway, try. I'm sure when he has a mother like you, he has some hope. Thank you. Yes?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Just a question about yesterday's class. It said that by this Gopal Gayatri, Lord Brahma was transported to Goloka Vrindavan when he had that vision. And other side in our Krishna Leela, you know, Lord Brahmaji was a little bewildered when he was taking breakfast with his children. So when he had that knowledge.
To understand that, we have to understand what Krishna's pastimes actually mean. Pastimes are like a drama. Drama, different actors are playing different roles. Right? They're playing different roles. So Brahma has a designated role. And in that drama, the director is Jogamaya. She's the director. She's all kind of director. She's the casting director. She decides who will play which role. So in this way, she actually makes the arrangement. And what Jogamaya does, like a good actor, the qualification of a good actor is that he'll have to forget who he is. And he has to become the role that he is playing. Right? So Jogamaya makes one forget the roles they're playing. They forget and they play the way. It's a good question, you know, and it's a common sense question also. You know, like if somebody comes to you every day, can you possibly forget who he is? So mind you, Krishna is coming to Brahma every day. Right? And still Brahma is forgetting and acting that way. That is, in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna is using Brahma to play that role. So that is. All Brahma knows, Brahma didn't have to get through Brahma Samhita's realization. Even if you consider Brahma as a person, and Krishna is coming to him once every day, how can he possibly forget him? And make the same mistake again and again and again. So you have to understand, this is like a drama and Brahma is playing the role. Any other question? Yeah. Bamsi.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. So Guru Maharaj, you said that Krishna does not touch material world because that is his external energy. And so when we worship or when we do any devotional service, so is it not touching Krishna directly?
What's that?
Like when we perform devotional service.
Devotional service is not performed in the material plane.
Okay.
Devotional service is executed in the spiritual plane.
Okay. So it directly touches him even though we are doing it here in the material plane.
Devotional service, association of devotees, these are all Krishna's internal potency.
Okay. And one understanding was like when you are saying that guna and karma determines what we are doing and the action and reaction. So is it one way, like the way I understood is that when we are performing devotional service and following Krishna consciousness process, slowly our guna and karma are getting elevated.
Yeah.
So that ultimate reaction.
You transcend the guna karma platform.
Yeah, right.
Right? Because when you become engaged in devotional service, real devotional service or pure devotional service is being executed on the spiritual plane.
Right.
Okay. Yes, Pranagovinda.
Sorry to bother you, but you are explaining. I feel like every year this question being repeated, but still not
answered.
Something like that. I know. So I remember many discussion of Sanatana Shiksha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Nija Angsha Kalai Krishna Tamogun Angikari Maya Sange Sanghar Harte." Sanghar Arthe Rudra Rupa Dhari.
Yeah.
So, but then I was thinking that even impersonalist, Vivartavadi, they also believe Krishna is Nirvikar, no transformation in that absolute truth. Shakti Parinambad, Mahaprabhu emphasized, everybody also accept the same thing, Krishna is Nirvikar. But how... idealistically, I accept that philosophy. But is there a tangible, some way I can grasp it? Like,
yeah. So here you have to understand what is Brahma Parinambad and what is Vivartavad, right? The Vedic concept is Parinambad, the theory of transformation or concept of transformation. Brahman has transformed into Jagat, right? This Jagat is a transformation of Brahman. So that's called Brahma Parinambad, Brahma, transformation of Brahma, spiritual potence, spiritual energy. But Shankaracharya actually raised another theory, presented another theory, which is Vivartavad. The Vivartavad, in simple words, is the theory of illusion. That is why it is called Mayavad. The common expression of that is Mayavad. So, that Mayavad is, the basic concept he is saying is, Brahma Satta, Jagan Mitha. Jagat is Mitha. It doesn't really exist. It's not there. It's illusion that we are thinking that it is there. Right? And in that respect, he is actually giving the example, just as we mistake a mirage to be water. It's actually hot sand. It's not water, it's fire. But it's appearing to be like water. A snake, mistaking a rope to be a snake. It's not snake, it's just rope. But we are mistakenly thinking that to be a snake. Right? So, this is the theory that Shankaracharya established. Like Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually making that point. Bash bhranto bolite ho uthailo bibad. He presented a contradictory theory saying that Vasudev is wrong. Vasudev's theory of Parinambad is wrong. It's a Vivartavad. But to understand that, we have to also consider that Lord Shiva is telling Parvati, Mayavadam Ashat Chastram Prachanda Bodham Uchyate Mayuva Vihitang Devi Kalau Brahmana Murtina. So that is a temporary theory. He did that. He propounded that theory to defeat the Buddhists and reestablish the Vedas. That was the responsibility he got. Bedna maniya bauddha hoilo nastik. Because the Buddhists don't accept the Vedas, they're atheists. And so there's a need now to re-establish the Vedas. Without the Vedas, one cannot possibly understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual reality. So there's a need to re-establish the Vedas. Therefore, in order to defeat the Buddhists, he came up with this temporary theory, Mayavadam, Ashat-Shastram. Ashat-Shastram, a temporary scripture, temporary conclusion. So that is what Shankaracharya came and gave. But only a temp for the time being it was necessary. But then Ramanujacharya came and smashed Shankaracharya's Vivartavad. You know how he did that? He said, fine, there is no water in the mirage. But somewhere the water is existing, that's why it appears to be there in the mirage. Fine, there is no snake in the rope. But somewhere the snake is existing, therefore we are mistaking the rope to be a snake. So in this way he established over Shankaracharya's Kevaladvaitavad, Vishishtadvaitavad. So that's how we have to see the total picture, you see. It's clear?
Very clear.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Simple for the simple.
Simple for the simple, yeah.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, that you were mentioning that the Vaikuntha planets in the material world, the reflection is the heavenly planets and Vrindavan is the earthly planet. What about the lower planetary systems, Maharaj?
Lower planetary system is a reflection of this world. The deeper, lower you go, more, you know, suffering condition is there.
Thank you.
They think they're enjoying. Just like in Las Vegas, they think they're enjoying.
The pig is thinking they're enjoying.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Did everybody hear?
Yes.
Maharaj said that the pig is eating stool and he's thinking he's enjoying. Okay.
Hey, Hare Krishna Maharaj, another question. Lord Brahma here is describing the position of Durga Devi, Lord Shiva. But does he mention anything about Lord Brahma himself?
Lord Brahma himself, yeah, it'll come to that. The next verse will say, Bhashman jathasma sakaleshu te, nijeshu teja, suyang kiyat prakatayatta vitadvadatra, brahma ja esa jagadanda vidhana karta. Just as Bhashman jatha asma sakaleshu nijeshu teja. The sun actually gives some of its potency in the stone. Like the diamond. Where did the diamond get this brilliance? From sun. Even you can consider it scientifically. See how scientific Vedas are. The trees are absorbing sun's energy through photosynthesis, right? And that's why the trees have the burning ability. The wood is able to burn. And this wood, under certain condition, becomes coal. And in the coal, you find diamond. Right? So, actually, this diamond got the energy through the photosynthesis process in the tree. And, you know, over a period of time, they actually give out the light. So, Bhashvan, Jatha, it's really mind-blowing, you know. Like, I mean, see, 5,000 years ago, Brahma actually, Vasudeva wrote this. Of course, Brahma had it millions and zillions of years ago. Right? But how scientific this understanding is. Bhashvan jathasma shakuleshu nijeshu teja. Just as the sun, just as the stone has the brilliance acquired from sun. Similarly, Krishna has invested his potency in Brahma, with which he is able to perform all these wonderful activities. So, Brahma Samhita, not only Brahma, you'll see Brahma Samhita is explaining who is Ganesh, who is Indra, who is everybody. Who are the demigods? So that's why I was saying, like, understand Brahma Samhita, you'll understand everything. And that's why it's so important that every Hindu reads Brahma Samhita. Because then, you know, they'll get rid of their misconception. What's going on in the name of Hinduism today. What is Hinduism today? I mean, if I may say that, I will say Hinduism is the biggest hodgepodge that's going on in this world. Muslims have their religion, Christians have their religion, but Hindus are a bunch of people, those who don't have any religion. It's just a hodgepodge. And Prabhupada came and gave what real Hinduism actually is. Anyway, sometimes I use some strong expressions, please don't mind. Nothing to do against Hindus. But it's a simple appeal. Hindus, wake up. Jeev jago. Hindus jago. They have the most profound wisdom, spiritual wisdom, but they're totally oblivious of that. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare Hare.